extraordinary adventure. More than ordinary. In the gym. At home. At work. More than ordinary. Advice. Without the new agey bullshit.
Welcome to More Than Ordinary, presented by Seven Generation Games. I'm Maria Burns-Ortiz.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeMars. And today, we're going to have a debate.
It's not really a debate, because there's really only one correct side to this issue.
That's what we're going to debate. So Julia, who always tells me I'm boring, should be here because she says, Mom, no one wants to see a reality show about you because people want to see on reality shows, people have fights and drama, and so it's a dumpster fire and they can feel better about their own pathetic lives.
So welcome to our dumpster fire of a podcast. Is that what you're saying?
I went to an Indian reservation in North Dakota, hung out with Spirit Lake, Dakota. Very cool. Shout out to Spirit Lake. Then I came back to Santa Monica, and then I'm going to Chile, and I run a startup, and I told her, how much more exciting could I be? I mean, what do I need to do, set myself on fire?
That's really a big theme of yours today. You've been bringing up so many times, I'm starting to wonder if you really secretly want to do that.
Spontaneous combustion.
Isn't it self-emulation? Isn't that what it is?
I was not saying it was called spontaneous combustion. I was changing the topic to talk about spontaneous combustion because I thought it was kind of interesting that when I was young, there were a number of supposedly cases of that where, oh, Bob was just sitting there in his chair and the next thing he knew, it was just ashes.
Is that because people did a lot of drugs in the 60s?
Well, actually, close. The theory about that is that those people who supposedly spontaneously combusted, that there were people who were drinking really, really, really a lot. So their alcohol level was very high, and then they passed out while smoking a cigarette. And so then the cigarette, like, caught them on fire, and they went up, poof. That's the theory.
I'm pretty sure that theory doesn't make sense, because even if you drink a lot, I don't think it's enough to set you aflame.
Maybe you spilled a lot of it on yourself? Didn't you ever use, like, charcoal starter?
Do I look like a woman that grills? No.
Alrighty. So getting to our actual debate, Maria and I have been having these discussions about marketing and what we could do to get more people to know about Seven Generation Games. So it's not that people go to our games and say, oh, your games suck, I would never buy them. In fact, quite the opposite. A lot of times they go check out our games and say, oh, wow, these are really cool. But the problem is getting them to go and check them out. You know, look at yourself. I mean, you could look in the mirror if you're driving, listening to this podcast.
Eyes on the road. What are you telling people? Look away. Keep your eyes on the road. I don't want to be responsible for accidents now.
Anyway.
Continue. Quit stalling.
Yes, so we're talking about marketing and getting people to know that our games exist. And our problem is we have received a lot of funds, for example, from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Woohoo, USDA!
Which funds small business innovation research, so that funds research and development. So we've developed some really cool stuff and got data to show that it works, but that money can't be spent for marketing or sales.
That's too bad. I was going to make a woohoo data that shows that it works, but you didn't pause. So woohoo data that shows that it works, but oh yeah, for money, not for sales and marketing.
I am kind of at my wit's end here. Like, for example, this last couple of weeks, I did a session on Quora, so that was cool. And answers that I gave ended up being published on the website for Forbes, for Inc. magazine, and two of them on Huffington Post. And then on top of that, our games got picked up by CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, and they ran an article on 17 beautiful games with Indigenous content. We are one of them. We were in a homeschool.com blog. They featured our games.
We're at the Ed Games Expo.
Yeah.
So like I said, I've done everything I can think of to attract attention to this company short of setting myself on fire. And, it's had more visits come to our site, but it's been in the hundreds more, not thousands or 10,000s more. I talked to a woman who's a publicist in New York and said, what do I need to do? And she said, your problem is you're not a little person. You're not...
Well, you're little, but you're not like a clinically diagnosed little person.
I'm not little enough to have a show about being, 3 foot tall and running a farm or whatever. Though Rhonda suggested that we should have a reality show and call it Little People, Big Dreams because you and I are so short.
I am 5'4 on a tall day. Thank you very much.
Well, anyway, I don't know what the solution is because, like I said, I totally disagree with Julia that I am boring. Anybody who's on an Indian reservation one week and in Los Angeles the next week and in Chile the next week, it's not boring, goddammit.
Yeah, and seriously, who wants to be a dumpster fire?
So one of the suggestions that I had from a couple of people was that we should look into hiring unpaid interns.
Which I'm against, and we will continue to come back to this, I'm sure.
And I've always been against that idea, too, but they kind of convinced me to at least think about it. And one of the reasons I've always been against it is I say that unpaid interns only benefit people whose parents have money, that it's the kids who have privilege and advantages who can afford not to work. And then they come and they get experience in these jobs because mommy or daddy or whoever is giving them money so they can live. And so basically the people who are privileged are getting more privilege.
It's the growing gap between the people that have and the people that don't have nearly as much.
And the other thing I thought about it, and I've always said, is that if you're doing work that's worthwhile to us, then we'll pay you. And if you're not doing anything worthwhile to us, then we don't have time for you. I talked to a few people about this, and they were all investors. And it's funny to me because they all said the same thing.
We'll be right back.
Did you know that 92% of U.S. homes have a computer? Yes. Yes, they do. And 43% of homes have a child under 18. Why aren't more kids playing educational games on those computers? Because they suck. The educational games, not the kids. Until now, download Spirit Lake or Fish Lake. Check out Forgotten Trail or Making Camp with no download required. All of our games are under $10. Teach math and social studies. Let your child play on a real computer and learn real-life math. If you're on Steam, be the coolest aunt, uncle, big brother, or sister on the block and download Fish Lake. The little rugrat can play on your computer, learn fractions, and you can get some peace while you talk on the phone to Vin. And I used to think that anybody who had unpaid interns was sort of like Mr. Burns from The Simpsons or Scrooge McDuck in there, you know, Scrooge from The Christmas Carol. They're like, wee, give me all the money, and here's half of a lump of coal for you to heat yourself by. But yet all of these people were really nice, kind, generous people that, you know, love their family and give money to charity and are very generous and invest in our company. So they're not selfish bastards. And all of them, as far as I know, and most of them I know for sure, are not people that came from a privileged, rich background and have no conception of what it's like to be struggling. All of them got their money the old-fashioned way. They start out with nothing, and they worked really hard, sometimes for a really long time, and then they got to be successful enough to the point where they could invest in our company. So those weren't the type of people that I thought would say, oh, yeah, you should have unpaid interns.
But I also think none of those, from what I know of them, are people that did unpaid internships either. And so I think that's very different. And there, for me, it comes down to a couple things, because I did several unpaid internships. And one, I did them, but I also was working. In my last semester, I was working a crazy number of hours. Well, I was doing a lot of hours interning. I was taking more than a full course load so that I could graduate early. I'd worked multiple jobs the summer before and also done, again, unpaid internships. Journalism's like the king of unpaid internships. And I just felt like it was unfair, to be honest, that I'm sitting here, I'm doing this work for people for free, and it was a good experience, but I felt like what we talk a lot about. I felt like I was doing work that was worth some kind of value, and I wasn't getting any kind of value for it. And I'm, like I said, it was the way the system is set up, so I'm not particularly blaming those publications because literally everybody does that mostly in journalism. I still feel to this day like my work was undervalued or completely undervalued, I guess is the word, because there was no money to it whatsoever. And I don't think that's right. And when I went through my career, and lots of times as a journalist too, people will say, oh, well, you should write for us for free for the visibility. And I don't get why. I mean, I think it's just a way to to take advantage of people. And I am highly against, obviously, taking advantage of people. And I think one of the things that we've talked about from day one with our interns is paying them and that your work has value. And I feel like that's kind of a core value of our company. And now to turn around and say, well, we don't really think your work has value, but you can come work for us, I think is completely contrary to the mission that we've tried to set forth as far as our company principles.
That is kind of what I thought at first. And I do agree with all those company principles. And one of the things that I said in arguing about this was, what about those kids who just are poor and they have to work? And they have to work for, like me when I was in college. And the answer I got is, look, if you really want to get ahead, you need to make some sacrifices. And if you have unpaid interns, they don't have to work the 20 or 30 or however many hours you work. They could come in and work for 6 hours a week. And that wouldn't be equivalent to the interns that you have now. And you don't have money to hire more interns. So it's not like you have the money and you're spending it on vacations to exotic places. One reason I think that our company, Seven Generation Games, is still around when a lot of startups have crashed and burned is we've always kept a close eye on the bottom line and on the cash flow. And so we have a budget that we really try to stick to. And right now, the budget for the interns is maxed out. So we have, three interns that we're paying, and they're all working 15 or 20 hours a week. And we don't have any more money to hire any more. So the option, you kid or older person, whoever out there that would like to get some experience, is to not have an internship or to have an unpaid internship for a small number of hours where maybe you get some training and learn some stuff.
Well, then the other thing, though, I think is if you have both of those people in the same office at the same time, it creates this, I think, uncomfortable dynamic where you have, you're an intern and I'm an intern, but I'm not valued in terms of any kind of monetary amount whatsoever, and you are. And I think that creates kind of an unfair, uncomfortable working environment because why are you worth money and I'm not? But to have two people that are basically the same title and to not pay one and pay the other, I have a hard time justifying that.
Well, I agree with that part of it. So I think if we had these unpaid internships, they would have to be doing something different than the paid interns are doing. Now, one thing, and like it or not, it's very common in the tech industry, is that people in the tech area get paid more than people who aren't. And so our interns, with one exception, have for a long time been people who are coming in as software development interns. So we made an exception. We have somebody now who is working in marketing. So if what we're looking at is somebody help with social media or marketing, it's an idea that I'm considering.
Right. And I would say as somebody that comes from a writing background, you know, obviously journalism, but any, therefore it immediately saying like, well, that's not a valuable skill set. Developer, that's a far more valuable skill set, and the skills that you bring to the table, not being a programming person, but someone who's maybe in writing or in marketing or whatever, isn't valuable, I think, again, goes back to, I think that's not the message that I want to be sending, is those people have important skills and you don't. That's why we're paying them and not paying you.
We'll be right back.
You know how sometimes you have an idea of how you want something done? Like how you would have your living room decorated, your closet organized, or whatever. But you just haven't had the time to get around to it because the way it is right now is passable and it works. But in the back of your head, you know it could be better someday. Well, for Spirit Lake the Game, someday is today. At Seven Generation Games, we've rolled out a major update of our very first game. We've kept the parts that were already great and enhanced those areas where we saw potential for enhancements to give you a new version of the game that we know kids will love even more than the original. If you already have Spirit Lake, check your email for the update notification. If you don't have Spirit Lake, well, what are you waiting for? Get it today.
Actually, I think a big difference, though, and one reason I, like I said, am at least thinking about this unpaid internship idea, is if somebody comes in and they say, I'm a developer, I can help you make games. I could say to them, alrighty, show me some code, show me a game that you did, and explain to me how it works, and I can understand fairly readily in that technical interview if that person can help us and help us make games or not. And fairly early on, within a few weeks of them coming in, I can say, all right, this person, you know, we haven't had this happen, but hypothetically, they brought in code that was written by someone else and they were really coached in what it said, but really this person doesn't know what the hell they're doing. They got to go. I think if you come in and say that you're a social media expert or something like that, it's harder to tell, or at least I don't know a way to tell. I can go and look and see, you know, how many followers do you have on Instagram or Snapchat or Pinterest or whatever, but that doesn't in the same way transfer, I don't think, because you might have a ton of pictures because you do a lot of booty shots, which wouldn't get us to hire you, by the way, so don't do it. So I don't know. I mean, you know as well as I do, we've had a lot of these self-proclaimed social media experts come in, and I guess we can't say this on the podcast. I was going to quote a friend of mine.
You cannot leave that in. Edit out, Diana, or else.
Or else you'll be an unpaid intern. Yeah. Well, I would just say that some of these people who come in and proclaim themselves social media experts or some stuff I would like done, for example, that we are not getting done. I'd like someone to maybe make YouTube videos and edit them and put them up. We have a YouTube video site for 7th Generation Games that could stand a lot of work. We have 7th Gen Games TV that isn't updated that often. So I'd like somebody to do that sort of thing. And you could come in and say, oh, I would be great at it. But like I said, showing your class project that you did of, you know, how to make cheese is not the same as curating and editing videos for our site. So,
okay, but so let's say this person comes in, right? And they make a kick-ass video. Then what? We don't have the money to pay them. So what are you going to say? Great job. You're doing great work. It's actually really valuable, but you're getting nothing for it.
I would like to think.
Wait. You're going to give visibility and you can pay your rent and your expenses in visibility from YouTube views, right?
Actually, no, I wasn't going to say that. I was going to say, though, that there are fields where you have unpaid interns. All teachers, and I guess this is why it's not as appalling to me, all teachers have to do the student teaching. And when I was in school, you did, I think, 10 hours a week your first quarter, 20 hours your second quarter, and 30 hours your third quarter. And all of that is unpaid. It's like I said, everybody does student teaching. Everybody. And it's unpaid.
Well, and I would argue, though, maybe that has part to do with why the teaching field is so incredibly homogenous, you know, why there's such a lack of diversity amongst teachers when you look at it, the numbers of teachers in terms of racial demographics and all of those things, they tend to come from a very different background, you know, and I would say that's the case with journalism too. In journalism, almost all the internships are unpaid, and so you do them, but that's why maybe there's a huge lack of diversity in media and education, and I think that comes down to not being responsible for a lot of problems, but it certainly doesn't help a lot of the issues that are faced.
See, I don't think that's the case with teaching, because when you're doing your student teaching, you still qualify for student aid. And so it's just the same as, you know, doing another year of college. Where I did see it, and I thought it was kind of crazy, is when I was living in North Dakota for addiction counseling, you had to do a one-year unpaid internship, and it was full-time, and you didn't qualify for student aid. So I don't know how people did. I think some people I knew who are Native American, they got aid from their tribe because the tribe really needed addiction counselors, and the other people, you know, their husband or wife supported them. But my point is there are entire professions that do have unpaid internships. And, you know, the funny thing is I posted this on LinkedIn, the same question. I posted on Quora, you know, should we have unpaid interns or not? And several people got back to me and said, no, you shouldn't. You know, I had an unpaid internship, or I had 3 unpaid internships, or I had 4 unpaid internships, and this is terrible. You shouldn't do it. But then I thought, but you did it.
Right, I did it. I'm still pissed off about having to have done it. You know, you do things and you think, when I'm in charge, I'm going to do things differently. You know what I mean? And that's kind of the way I feel. Like, yeah, I did it because you had to, but it sucked, and I thought it was very unfair. And I thought, you know, here I am, I have to work, and I have to figure out how I'm going to both work and do this internship and have enough money to then buy my books. And, I mean, so, you know, and I was lucky because, I mean, you helped me out with my tuition and, like, room and board, but, like, there was lots of things, like books, or if I wanted to eat more than the 10 meals a week on my meal plan or whatever it was, you know, I had to figure out a way to do those things, pay my cell phone bill, things that, you know, aren't necessarily huge expenses, but if you're not making any money, or you need to figure out a way that you're going to do it. So I felt like it sucked because I had to juggle all those things, and I was probably more fortunate than a lot of people. So for me, I thought, well, if I ever am in a position where I can, you know, I'm not going to take advantage of people in this position. And that's what I think most people who do unpaid internships that have to worry about money whatsoever feel like it is kind of taking advantage of them. I was going to do it differently. So yeah, I did it. But I thought that it was messed up, and when I got in charge of the whole wide world, which I'm not yet, but at least partially in charge of this company, I was going to do things differently. And so now I'm in that position, and my opinion hasn't changed, and I feel like to say, well, if I had the money, I would do it differently, but I don't. So here we go. That's where I'm.
Well, I guess I did something like an internship. I did a quarter of student teaching, so that was 10 hours a week. And then I had two internships when I was in business school. One is an undergraduate, one is an MBA student. And in all those cases, I didn't think it was that big of a hardship. And I was working full time, and I definitely was at that very, very low income spot.
I did 24 hours a week, unpaid, as an intern. Technically, I got my transportation covered, so it came down to $8 a day, so $1 an hour. I'm still pissed. I still remember how much it was. I don't know. I just think, to me, I still remember it, and I still remember thinking it was unfair, and that's why I think, you know, when I still think if your work has value, then you should be paid for it, because...
But what I wanted to say about, say, student teaching or those business internships, they did give me an opportunity to get into a company or get into a school and see what things were like. And that was a benefit to me because I didn't come from a background where, you know, either of my parents had any real contacts in business, that I had the opportunity, you know, take your daughter to work day was far in the future. So it gave me the chance to get into a company and see how things worked. Now, if you're saying I would have got that same opportunity like working for a temp agency and actually getting paid, well, of course, I did that too because I was broke. But in the internships, the idea of an unpaid internship would be that you're supposed to be learning something. Like if you're a student teacher, they place you with an experienced teacher and you're in the classroom and you have to do certain things. It's the same thing when you're working for a business. You maybe get to meet people at the upper level that you're not going to meet as the file clerk, and you get to pitch your ideas to them. And my guess is that the amount of value we were to, as master students to those companies, was not that huge. But if you do it as an opportunity for someone who wouldn't otherwise have an opportunity because you would not be paying them. Those schools would not be hiring all those young people to come in as aides or tutors or whatever. And those companies would not be taking their time to let 19-year-olds pitch to their executives.
But here's my question. I asked you this before, and you didn't really have a good answer. So you're saying people that wouldn't otherwise have that opportunity, right? But let's say we start getting applicants for this unpaid position of people that are more than qualified that we would definitely hire for the paid position. So they are people that we would hire for a paid position. Now, are you hiring these? Do you not hire these people because they're, which this drives me crazy, and people say, we're not going to hire someone because they're overqualified, you know?
Well, first of all, I totally am on board with the, I'm not hiring you because you're overqualified.
Well, I think it depends on what it is. Because I think if you're overqualified for a paid internship, it's a pretty low bar for, as opposed to, you know, okay, if you're coming in and you want to work at a very, very entry-level position at our company and say you've been, you know, 30 years experience in development, okay, maybe I get that. But I'm talking about internship level qualifications to say, oh, you're overqualified for our paid level internship. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, as I was saying before I was interrupted, I think that if someone is really overqualified for a job, you don't hire them for it. And I used to get really mad when I was young and I would apply for jobs and people would say, oh, you're overqualified. And I think, well, that's a better deal for you then. You know, why aren't you hiring me? But the truth is, if you are overqualified, the first thing you're going to do is start looking for another job, or you're going to be very unhappy in the job you are. And we're putting time and effort into training you and bringing you on board and setting you up in all our systems. And then 2 weeks later, when you get a better job, you quit. So I have no qualms about saying, I think you're overqualified for this job.
Right. Well, that I don't disagree with. But I'm just saying for like a paid, for an unpaid internship versus a paid internship, I mean, I would think the bar is pretty low as far as being qualified or unqualified for a paid, an unpaid internship. And so that's my question. If you have somebody that meets the bar of your paid internship, you're talking about people who wouldn't have opportunities otherwise, right? But if there's someone we would give an opportunity for a paid internship, then are you going to bring them in as an unpaid intern just because you don't have that paid spot available? And isn't that really then, again, like I said, just taking advantage of someone who's willing to work for free and undervaluing their work?
Well, I think what you can't do is have the exact same job and say, okay, I'm going to pay you for it, but I'm not going to pay him for it. So what you'd have to do is say, all right, our paid internships are going to be X. You must commit to a minimum of 15 hours a week. You must have at least 2 years of college. You must have these skills. And our unpaid internships, you know, would be, and I'm just, you know, because I said I'm still considering this, so off the top of my head, you'd have to have a willingness to commit 4 to 6 hours a week for 2 months as opposed to 15 or 20 for 4 months. You wouldn't necessarily have to have 2 years of college. We would consider it if you only had a high school education. And see, I actually read up the law on this too, because even though a lot of people skirt the law or just completely ignore it, there are federally, there are 6 requirements for having an unpaid internship. And one of them that I really agree with is there has to be some educational benefit to it. So we'd have to set up something. And to me, it's kind of equivalent. If you come and you take a class at a university where I teach, you pay a lot of money. And you don't even get me individually. So if you came and you worked with me, you would learn a lot. And you wouldn't even have to pay anything.
Right. Well, my thought, too, though, is you have someone coming in 4 hours a week, right? They don't have any real experience, basically. That's what you're setting it up as, right? So how much time am I now spending, or someone on my staff spending, onboarding this person and getting them up to speed and then teaching them these things? And then, I mean, because that's going to take more than a couple of weeks, right? Of your 4 hours, it's going to take more than that. And then they're gone in 2 months. So to me, it just seems like I'm spending how much time training this person, and then I'm not going to get that time back on the back end.
See, what I would hope, and this is the thing that maybe throws a wrench in it, because you can't promise them a job at the end of it. And I would not do that, but I would hope if we had enough of these people come through that some of them would pay off and they would really catch up and, you know, catch on, and they would be really good. And then we could hire them within a couple of months for a paid internship job.
I don't know. Yeah, my thought was, I thought we were saying, but you can't do that. You can't say this is what it's for. So you're just, you can't bring them in and say, you know, if you do a really good job, this is kind of a tryout. Because then, again, then what happens to the paid interns that we currently have? You know, are we going to fire them earlier? What we've done in the past is we bring people on, and we usually, if they're good, because they've been onboarded, we'll extend their time. So do we cut those people off and so we can bring in these other people? Because that doesn't seem fair or make sense to me either.
Well, my presumption is that we are going to grow and that there will be jobs up there. Well, here's my thing, too, with a lot of the unpaid internship ideas and the unpaid training idea. We've had some people who really have not worked out. They come in and they, whoever has that fake it till you make it mantra out there, I want to find out who started that and just slap the living crap out of them. Because you'll have people go, oh, I could do this, I could do this, and they don't work out. And one of the things that really gets to me as an entrepreneur, as a startup founder, is that we have a lot of skin in the game. You, Dennis, and I all gave up jobs that paid way better than this to do what we do. And there have been times when we didn't have as much money coming in, and we not only did we not get paid, but we made the payroll out of our own personal savings accounts. And so then we get people that come in, and they don't want to make any sacrifices. It's like, well, you know, give me some money and maybe things will, I'll do something, maybe things will work out.
True, but I think, and I agree with that, but I think it depends on the position you're hiring for. To be quite honest, I think if you're saying, you're an intern, I want you to have skin in the game, I mean, you're paying them minimum wage. You know what I mean? I don't think anyone that comes in as an intern is going to really have a lot of skin in the game, because the reality is, you know, we have a lot of equity. So I, when this thing goes huge and blows up and we have lots of money, that's great. I'm not going to give an intern equity. So I think it's hard. I think from you're looking at what level the person's coming in at. I mean, if they're coming in kind of as a senior sales level type of person or a senior marketing type of person, I expect them to have skin in the game. If they're a 19-year-old kid out of college or that's still in college, I think that's not really a reasonable expectation.
I'm going to remind you of that the next time somebody really irritates you because they forgot to come to work or something.
Well, no, I mean, I think you need to come and show up at like as if it's a job. I mean, there's a big difference between the person that goes to work every single day and the person that runs the company. And I, it doesn't mean that they don't have to take it seriously as a job and an employment, but I don't think that I wouldn't expect an intern or someone like that being like, well, how am I going to make payroll? Same belief, especially as an intern level. I think we've had some people who came in as an interns and have developed that over time, and then we brought it onto staff. But I have a hard time thinking that you're going to have a kid come in at day one and have the same sense of urgency that you or I or Dennis have, because we actually do have a lot more skin in the game.
When I was 19, I had been living on my own for 4 years, graduated from college, and won the U.S. Open.
And did you feel really, really tied to your job and you had a lot of skin in the game and you showed up there every single day as dedicated as you could possibly be?
No, actually, a lot of time when I was in college, I was working as a waitress at an all-night restaurant, and people would come in after the Rocky Horror Picture Show and be drunk and fall asleep with their face in their eggs.
So my point is you didn't have that same burning drive to upsell them with that extra cup of coffee then, did you?
So I guess our conclusion is really I would like to pay everybody. And so if you would like to invest in our company because you so strongly believe that all interns should be paid, then Maria?
That work has value. That's what I'm talking about. Work has value.
Okay, Maria at 7GenerationGames.com. She would like you to contact her about helping raise the seed round so that she could pay all of the interns.
Yeah, and Anne Maria at 7GenerationGames.com. She would like those of you who have no value for your work whatsoever and don't mind being taken advantage of by the Scrooge McDucks of the world to please contact her at Anne Maria at 7GenerationGames.com. She will never pay you. Don't ask. I'm out there raising money so that we can pay people who are going to do a really good job.
Thanks for listening to the More Than Ordinary podcast.
For more information, please go to our website, 7GenerationGames.com. And that's 7 as in the number 7, GenerationGames.com.
If you'd like to learn more about math and history or increase your vocabulary while at the same time having fun, you can purchase our games at 7GenerationGames.com/buy.
You can also donate and help a much-deserving student.
And as always, please tell a friend and don't forget to rate us on iTunes.
It's never too late to be more than ordinary.